In this country, an incident involving two Islamic clerics came to our attention. The imams from Canada were traveling to Florida to lecture, among other things, on ways to combat Islamic fanaticism. They're two of the most outspoken moderates in Canada, but they never made the lecture. At Fort Lauderdale's airport, immigration officials detained the clerics, called in the FBI for 16 hours of questioning, held them overnight in a county jail, then sent the two back to Canada. Apparently, one of the men has the same name as someone on a government watch list, and a business card of the other appeared suspicious to immigration officials. The imams are considering a lawsuit. Among American Islamic clergy, the reaction was widespread outrage, but hardly surprise. Imam Hassan Kazwini heads the Islamic Center of America in Dearborn, Michigan. He's proud to know President Bush personally and calls himself a friend of the administration. Kazwini also says he's a frequent flyer, and he and many other moderate Muslims have repeatedly been targeted for questioning and searches. Kazwini says he finds this crushing.
What a message Mr. Ashcroft trying to send to the American people, then? If the moderate imams are being singled out, inspected, and sometimes expelled from the United States, then is this the message that Mr. Ashcroft and our authorities are trying to send to the Muslims, that no matter how you feel, what your position is, you are not welcomed in this country and we don't like you?
The irony, Kazwini says, is that every time the government sends that message, or simply appears to, it makes it that much harder for him to continue promoting tolerance. We asked several Islamic clergy and scholars about the position moderates find themselves in. Khalid Abul El-Fadl is a professor of Islamic law, currently at Yale University. He says a small minority of extremists has a disproportionately loud voice, one that is corrupting Islamic tradition and teaching the world to be afraid of Muslims.
In the same way that there are extremists who are willing to sacrifice everything to spread a message of hate and compulsion and coercion, there must be at least an equal number of moderate Muslims who are willing to sacrifice everything to establish the fact that Islam is a faith of tolerance, mercy, and compassion and peace.
It sounds like a civil war.
Well, it doesn't need to be a war of arms, but a war of ideas, a war of words is what often defines the future of a people.
There are people who have, accused me or accused my colleagues of not being, faithful to Islam.
That's Radwan Mazmoudi, founder of the Center for the Study of Islam and Democracy in Washington, D.C. His ideas and words have made him a target among some Muslims, even as he, too, contends with government suspicions and airport grilling. Mazmoudi argues that there is an urgent need to reinterpret Islamic teachings, a process known as ijtihad.
Ijtihad was used for hundreds of years to provide some flexibility in the way that Islam is interpreted between different communities and different societies. And unfortunately, ijtihad was stopped about 400 years ago. So now we are stuck with interpretations that are at least 400 years old. And therefore, they are not very compatible or useful for addressing the current situation.
Mazmoudi argues, for example, that interpretations forbidding music, TV, and intermingling of the sexes are not truly Islamic, but cultural and outmoded. And it's not just academics who feel a need for moderation. Imam Muhammad Majid ministers to a booming Muslim population in Northern Virginia. He's holding civics classes to encourage worshippers to integrate into mainstream America. He's especially watchful for those most vulnerable to extreme ideas.
I believe that moderate Muslim, they have to really to be active in teaching people, whether in the prison system, whether people who accepted Islam, to make sure that they don't, being taken by extremists overseas or being recruited to come back to do harm to this country.
Yet Majid and others say it's an uphill battle given the current climate in the U.S. Counter-terror policies target Arabs and Muslims, and then there's U.S. foreign policy, Imam Hassan Kazwini says many Muslims have long believed America's unconditional support for Israel amounts to anti-Arab bias. Kazwini says this strengthens both extremists and isolationists, and he cites a frustrating personal experience.
During the last presidential campaign and election in 2000, I was preaching and advocating for Muslims to be part of the system and to participate and to elect and to vote. Some young Muslim students, probably in the campuses, were opposing the idea. They were saying, what we're going to get out of voting? We are not counted anyways, and we're not going to change the system. And no matter what happens, there will be injustice against Muslims in the Middle East and in the United States.
Scholar Khaled Abu al-Fadl has little patience for Muslims who put their religion ahead of their loyalty to American society. He stood his ground in a courtroom in Florida earlier this year. He testified on behalf of the state against a Muslim woman who refused to lift her veil for her driver's license photo. Abu al-Fadl believed public safety took priority over the woman's religious beliefs, and he was roundly criticized by Muslim groups for that. If reformers are not able to counter hardline attitudes, Abu al-Fadl says he worries about the future of Islam in America.
I mean, the danger to a Muslim parent is no less than their child. If their child grows up to be an educated, intelligent, analytical, critical human being, if the fanatic orientations go unchallenged, the chances are this child will grow up not to associate himself or herself with Islam or the Islamic tradition, but associate himself or herself with something else.
In other words, a brain drain from Islam. And Abu al-Fadl says he sees it already in his classroom, in the students who say, my parents are Muslim. Abu al-Fadl cherishes the freedoms of America and the ability of Muslim reformers to push their ideas. He says you can create all types of intellectual revolutions from the U.S., yet Abu al-Fadl warns that the danger of losing out in this battlefield of thought is huge.